Srimad-Radharani, which are closely connected with two features of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Actually, it is impossible to understand Radha Krishna Leela in this age of Kali without going through Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When we discuss Radha Krishna pastimes, particularly Srimati Radharani, in Srimati Radharani we find that it is a most elevated, confidential subject matter, but at the same time, Srimati Radharani is appealed to by a devotee who considers himself fallen. The devotee wants to do some service to attract Srimati Radharani's attention so that she'll recommend the devotee to Krishna. In that performance of devotional service, the devotee is thinking, I'm so fallen, only Srimati Radharani can save me by telling Krishna about me. In our spiritual line, devotees are more eager to offer something to Srimati Radharani so that she will then offer it to Krishna. We want that she accepts the flower and then gives it to Krishna. Discussion of Srimati Radharani is highly confidential and highly intimate, yet the devotee, feeling himself fallen, not advanced, appeals there. So this seems contradictory, that if someone considers himself not advanced and fallen, and the subject matter of Srimati Radharani is most advanced, most intimate, how do you put the two together? But indeed, in the spiritual reality, the two do go together.
De a lelki valóságban valójában ez a kettő, ez összekapcsolódik.
If we look at Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Krishna appearing in the position and mood of Srimati Radharani, we also find these two apparently contradictory features. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, the emotions of Lord Chaitanya are described in two ways which seem to be different. On the one hand, his emotions are described as, let the fallen souls be delivered. And also the emotions of Lord Chaitanya are described as the feelings of Srimati Radharani, especially as Uddhava found her in Vrindavan in the state of utmost separation from Krishna. In our Krishna consciousness movement, as inherited through Parampara, through Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, through Srila Prabhupada, we also find these two features. We have the most intimate knowledge and aim, knowledge of Radha Krishna pastimes, and our aim is to please Srimati Radharani. At the same time, we are the Sankirtan movement dedicated to widely propagating Krishna
consciousness.
We sing Jai Radha Madhava before class, such an intimate song. We worship Tulsi Devi with such an intimate song. At the same time, throughout the day, we are racking our brains how to spread the Krishna consciousness movement. Because of the mercy of Srimati Radharani, as manifest in this world, we are able to be here and celebrate this most auspicious day. We don't think ourselves to be advanced. We think ourselves to be quite worthless. At the same time, we are appealing to Krishna's dearest consort, asking that she she recommends us, and she tells us, she tells Krishna about it. I was speaking in Zurich a few days ago. They celebrated Radhashtami on Thursday. And I was discussing some aspects of Radha Krishna Leela, but it was very puzzling for the audience. I decided to discuss Rodra Bhakti Rasa, anger in Vrindavan, as manifest in Radha and Krishna's dealings and Radharani and her associates. The audience was mostly devotees of the Indian congregation, and they were genuinely puzzled. How can there, we know that there is desire in Radha Krishna Leela. Krishna wants to be with the gopis want to be with Krishna. Everyone in India knows this. You think you understand it. But anger? Isn't anger something very polluting, very low? But Krishna is the enjoyer of all kinds of perfect spiritual taste. And the anger in Vrindavan is for his pleasure. Certainly when we feel anger in some mundane situation, it is not at all very elevating. But hearing about anger in Radha Krishna Leela is completely purifying and enlivening. Krishna is always involved, one way or another. Sometimes the anger is about the attacks that Krishna makes upon Srimati Radharani when she's walking around. When some of the residents of Vrindavan are discussing these attacks, they can be angry at each other because one will deny the attacks and the other will say, it is a fact, why can't you see this? So in Zurich, the audience was a little amazed to hear this. We know that there's desire in Vrindavan between Krishna and his consorts, but attacks on the street? Anger and accusations and counter-accusations. For example, Jatila, the mother-in-law of Srimati Radharani, was having a hot dispute with Mukhara, Srimati Radharani's great-grandmother. Jatila was putting forward very vigorously that your words are burning my heart. Isn't it obvious what Krishna is doing to my daughter-in-law? The two ladies who are at odds with each other. Your words are burning in my heart. How can you not acknowledge what Krishna is doing to my daughter-in-law? And Mukhara replied, you are giving me such a headache. Your words are giving me such a headache because there is not one shred of evidence that Krishna is attacking Radharani. There is no evidence, no proof. Another time, described by Rupa Goswami, involved a necklace that Krishna had given Srimati Radharani. Jatila noticed in public that Srimati Radharani was very discreetly trying to take off the necklace. And Jatila announced it to everyone, all the Vrijvasis, just see how the son of Nanda Maharaj is setting fire to my household. So these exchanges are quite intense. No one is joking. They're not just pretending to be. This is actually the reflection of anger. They're feeling like this. Other times, even Srimati Radharani's dearest associate, Lalita, becomes angry with her when Srimati Radharani becomes too submissive, even in the face of Krishna's cheating, Lalita becomes angry. Lalita's nature is very purely spiritual, pure spiritually proud and arrogant, so she cannot tolerate it when Krishna seems to be taking advantage of Srimati Radharani. So Rupa Goswami describes her presentation in this way.
Rupa Goswami,
She's speaking to Srimati Radharani. All right, my desires, my heart may be polluted and I may be going to the court of Yamaraj. She's speaking angrily at Srimati
Radharani.
But I can't tolerate it to see that Krishna is smiling even after cheating you. And you are cooperating with him. This is intense anger. Another time, Srimati Radharani is talking with her mother, Purnamasi. And she's talking to Purnamasi. She's talking to Purnamasi. And she's angry.
Yes, sir.
She's angry in the talk. Why are you angry at me? Why are you accusing me? I'm not at fault. I'm walking down the street and Krishna cruelly attacks me. Don't accuse me. What can I do? If I try to cry out, he then covers my mouth with his hand. If I try to get around him, walk around him, he blocks the path, putting out both hands. Why are you angry at me? What can I do about this situation? And Srimati Radharani is angrily defending herself. He continued. It gets even worse. I fall at his feet and touch my head to his feet, begging him to stop these attacks. And he bites me on my face. If you want to help me, don't make these false accusations that I'm doing something wrong. Just give me information how to avoid these, how to stop these attacks by Krishna. Now, I wouldn't recommend you try to explain these leelas to your local Christian religious leaders. This is the God we worship. He attacks a young maiden on the street, covers her mouth when she tries to protest. When she falls at his feet, begging him to stop, he bites her on the face. These pastimes are only relishable for devotees who are pure in heart. Jiva Goswami, in his presentation of Tattva, the truth of Radha Krishna Leela, emphasizes very prominently that you can't ever accuse Krishna of enjoying material. And this point by Jiva Goswami is often made in later acharyas. All the topmost transcendentalists renounce this material world. Those seeking liberation in the impersonal realm, they give up the material world. Those meditating on Paramatma, they give up the material world. And certainly, the Krishna bhaktas, the devotees, give up the pleasures of the material world. Why then would Krishna, the ultimate goal of spiritualization, why would he want to enjoy something material? Because we're dwelling in a time in which there's no culture, no social culture of enlightenment, we may not fully appreciate the impact of Jiva Goswami's presentation. He is presenting the whole range of transcendental endeavor. The Gyanis, the Yogis, the Bhaktas. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Manushanam Sahasreshu Kastin Yatapisidhe Yatatam Pisidhan Kastin Mahavidhita. You may be aspiring for perfection in Brahma realization. You may be aspiring for perfection in Paramatma realization, but very rare is the person who understands me in truth. Because we don't have a spiritual culture in society, we can't fully appreciate the impact of Krishna's statement in Bhagavad Gita and Jiva Goswami's presentation of the purity of Krishna's enjoyment. But the acharyas accept Jiva Goswami's point as most conclusive. If all types of transcendentalists give up material enjoyment, how can you say that the ultimate goal of transcendence wants to enjoy something material? You cannot separate Radha and Krishna just like you cannot separate heat and light from fire. Yet, in Krishna Lila, separation is produced between Radha and Krishna. A separation so inconceivably intense and simultaneously satisfying that Krishna decides he wants to experience it himself as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Still, you cannot separate heat and light from fire. Similarly, you cannot separate Krishna from his potencies. And Srimati Radharani is the crest jewel of the Lord's internal potency. All of Krishna's qualities are enjoyable to him. He relishes being Atmarama, self-satisfied. But the Acharyas point out that Srimati Radharani gives him more pleasure even than his Atmarama quality. Why would Krishna want to experience separation from someone who gives him more pleasure than his own Atmarama characteristic? But the Lila Shakti, Krishna's pastime energy, knows how to arrange everything for the perfection of loving affairs. Shukadeva Goswami begins his description of Rasa Lila by asserting, although Krishna's Bhagavan, still he wants to enjoy. Bhagavan Apitavachi Shadok Bhavavika. He's Bhagavan, self-satisfied, yet three things provoke in him the desire to exchange love. Three stimulants of ecstatic love come to him at the same time. Time, place, and object. The time, autumn nights, and the place, the forest of Vrindavan. And the object, the infinitely beautiful cowherd girls of Vrindavan, and especially Srimati Radharani. Krishna knows how to enjoy, and his ultimate object for enjoyment is his dearmost consort, Srimati Radharani. Shalabhok Kola Malika. Even though it's nighttime, the lotuses are open. Even though it's autumn, the jasmine flowers are blooming. Bicharam Dumanas Chakre. Seeing the perfect situation for love, Krishna makes up his mind. Tonight is the night. This is the perfection of decisiveness. Yogamaya Upashitam. To fulfill that decision, Krishna takes shelter of his Yogamaya, his internal potency. When the Rasa Lila begins, apparently Krishna is enjoying equally with all the gopis. Naturally, the devotee wonders, what special arrangement is Krishna going to make for Srimati Radharani? Indeed, some special arrangement has to be made because Srimati Radharani, the Acharyas point out, is becoming angry. Here, once again, we have anger. Why is Krishna treating me equally with everyone else? Krishna notices his anger. He relishes it. And he leaves with Srimati Radharani. The other gopis are plunged into the sorrow of separation. After an anguish search, they come upon Krishna and Radharani's footprints mingled together. Radharani's party of gopis, they're very happy, but they're careful not to reveal their joy amidst the whole group of gopis. Radha Krishna Lila is full of emotional expertise, far beyond what we can conceive of in this material world. The Acharyas point out, Lalita, Radharani's right-hand girl, is the first to say something. Look at these footprints of a girl with Krishna. Such a fortunate girl must have worshipped Narayan very expertly to have such a situation. The rival group of gopis, they're not at all happy. Who is this girl who's with Krishna and has made Krishna neglect our praying, our pure love? Obviously, this girl is just motivated by lesser impulses. How can Krishna neglect our pure love and pay attention to this girl's lesser motivations? Lalita knows that there's an opposing group, and therefore She expresses her joy very tactfully. And then all the gopis get to the spot in the forest where Radharani's footprints have disappeared. So Lalita points out, just see, her footprints aren't there anymore. She says this to the opposing gopis, aren't you happy now? She's not around anymore, her footprints have disappeared. Only Krishna's footprints are there. In other words, rejoice, be glad. But the opposing group has a conference. And then they come up with a conclusion. Her footprints aren't there anymore because Krishna is picking her up, holding her to his chest. That's the reason. So they were not pacified. The Acharya point out that Lalita had made this statement. Envious ones, be happy now. Just see, no more footprints. But the whatever joy was there in the opposing side was very short. Then we come to the part of the Leela where Krishna and Radharani separate. Why would Krishna want to separate from Srimati Radharani? He says to her, we are walking through this forest. Just up ahead is an even more lonely spot. Shall we proceed further? What is your preference? A garden of perfumed flowers? Or a bed made of flowers? What do you prefer? Srimati Radharani replies, whatever is your desire. And you may, I'm tired from walking. You may take me on your shoulder. Krishna's the master of rasa. He's thinking now, the Acharya said, wait a minute, this is not quite yet the perfection of rasa. Everyone knows Srimati Radharani can be very bashful and also very uncooperative. Now she's being very submissive and cooperative. Oh, take me wherever you like. Put me on your shoulder. Take me wherever you like. This is not the best for rasa. For the best taste of rasa, there should be cooperation on both sides, male and the female. I'm the one who's always being cooperative, and she's generally the one who's uncooperative. Now, if both of us are cooperative, this is not for the best. Furthermore, Krishna thought, I want that Srimati Radharani feels the topmost feeling of separation. And I want the other gopis to see it. Right now, all the other gopis are plunged into the most intense grief of separation. But I want them to see what Srimati Radharani is like, feeling separation, so that they understand their feelings are quite small compared to what she will feel. For all these considerations, Krishna decided to disappear. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur points out that actually it's not that Krishna and Radharani left the scene of the Rasa-lila, they just became invisible. Now Krishna is going to disappear from Srimati Radharani. Ostensibly, externally, superficially, the reason seems to be because she's proud. The real reason is to taste the highest feelings of separation. Before Krishna left, all the gopis at the beginning of the last dance, all the gopis were feeling a little proud. We are the most fortunate girls in all existence. And similarly, when Krishna is alone with Srimati Radharani, it is ascribed that she felt proud. But that pride is actually pride in pleasing Krishna. Because the gopis are always thinking, Krishna cannot enjoy without us. Without us, his enjoyment is not complete. So their pride is not selfish pride. They want Krishna to enjoy. And it is inconceivable for them to think how Krishna can enjoy without them. This is how inseparable the heat and light are from the fire. We can only, in our conditioned state, think of such through the lens of selfishness. Oh, how great am I? Someone needs me. Someone relies upon me. So it's hard for us to understand how the gopis could feel pride in there being necessary for Krishna's complete enjoyment. And that pride has not one drop of selfishness. But this is how close they are, especially this is how inseparable Srimati Radharani and Krishna are. Srimati Radharani can't think of how Krishna can enjoy separate from her. As Srila Prabhupada writes in his introduction to Chaitanya Charitamrita, Radha Krishna means the exchange of love. Therefore, one can't think without the other. Still, Krishna wants to produce separation because he knows that is the greatest love. Therefore, in our Gaudiya Vaishnava line, as followers of Lord Chaitanya, we aspire to serve Krishna in separation. We don't focus upon meeting Krishna. Our focus is feeling separation from Krishna, as demonstrated by Lord Chaitanya, who took upon himself the emotions of Srimati Radharani in separation from Krishna. And then the six Goswamis also took up this love of Krishna in separation. They never said, now we have attained Krishna. They were always in Vrindavan, mad in feeling separation from Krishna. So, I always like to point out that our topmost acharyas never fulfill their mission. The foremost authorities that you are following never complete their mission. Normally that would be considered failure in the material world. How can you follow teachers who never complete their mission, never attain their goal? That is the mystery of love of Krishna and separation. Through those feelings of separation, Krishna is present even more. The six Goswamis of Vrindavan never said, now we have grasped Krishna permanently and completely. Their mood was always, where is Krishna? Where do we find him? After Krishna left Srimati Radharani, her feelings of separation are almost beyond description. The acharyas describe her appealing to Krishna to please come back. Her dialogue with Krishna. If you don't return, I will die. If I die, how then will you have pleasure? And even after I die, I'll still feel pain because you're not having pleasure. She says that just knowing that just one spot on your toenail, on the nails of your feet, just one spot on one nail of your feet has pain, I can't live knowing that. In Vrindavan, when Krishna is in the forest during the day, the gopis are at home, and just thinking about Krishna's feet and how his feet become pricked with little stones and thorns, it fills them with pain. Feet so soft, they say they dare not put those feet on their chest, yet those feet are walking bare in the forest. But here Srimati Radharani says, not just the feet, but one spot on a toenail. If just one spot on one nail of a toe feels pain, she can't live. That is pure devotion. That is the kind of devotion that Krishna is conquered by. Everyone wants to belong to someone. Even Krishna wants to belong to someone. That's what it means when we sing Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Gopi Jana Madhava Jinjana Dhani. He belongs to Mother Yashoda as her darling son. He's the beloved of the gopis. Most specifically, Krishna is the property of Srimati Radharani. He wants to belong to her. Sometimes she repudiates him. Sometimes she apparently rejects him. Rejects him so intensely that other gopis have to plead on Krishna's behalf. Apparently Krishna has neglected her. And Srimati Radharani becomes angry. And then Krishna falls at her feet, begging that she please become favorable to him again. Still, she ignores him. Sometimes other gopis become angry at this. Rupa Goswami describes it as anger. How can you be so hard-hearted? Krishna has fallen at your feet. His peacock feather on his head is touching your feet. And still you are being so callous toward him. After Krishna disappeared from Srimati Radharani, when the gopis came upon her, they found her practically unconscious. The acharyas say that in her dialogue with Krishna, Krishna asked her, "If you are so destroyed by my absence, why did you say to me, 'I'm the son of the king'? Why did you say to me, 'Just put me on your shoulder, take me anywhere'? I'm the son of Nanda Maharaj. I'm the son of the king of Raj. Is that the way you talk to the son of the king? Put me on your shoulder, take me anywhere." And Srimati Radharani replied that, "I was just sleepy, therefore I spoke like that. I was tired from our pastimes, a little sleepy, that's why I said those words." Then Krishna said, all right, come to me, come to me." Still, the agony of separation doesn't end. Srimati Radharani says, "Where are you? I can't see you. I'm so blinded by my lamentation. I can't see you. Where are you?" She collapses unconscious almost. And that's how the other gopis come upon her. At that time, even the envious gopis sympathize with her. Because in situations like this of such anguish, even the feelings of jealousy and envy disappear. The envy and jealousy of her rivals, that goes away when they see her pitiable situation. She has cried out to Krishna with emotions that we could never materially conceive of. Emotions so inconceivable that Krishna himself decided, "I must experience this love and separation." She cried out to Krishna in separation, "Hey Nata Ramana Krishna, oh my master, my lover, my dearest, Kasi Kasi Mahabhuja. Where are you, oh mighty Arjuna? Please be merciful upon this wretched person. Please give me your darshan, oh friend." Those words are the ultimate in love of Krishna and separation. Krishna himself wondered, "What is this feeling?" Therefore, to experience the glories of Srimati Radharani's love, Krishna came as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And it is that love, which is non-different from Srimati Radharani, that we are celebrating today.